Evening, folks. Given that we're a couple of minutes after 6 o'clock, we'll kick off. So, first item on the agenda is apologies. Any apologies?
Thanks for playing, thanks.
Michael Lipset.
Nothing further. Okay. And just a couple of items under Chairman's remarks. Firstly, I'd like to commend the staff in New Year's Centre, who received very positive feedback from a client whose health improved significantly through the council's GP referral scheme. So it's great to see and congratulate the staff on that. I'm sure that will continue across all of our facilities. Secondly, I wish to acknowledge the achievements of the Disability Support NI 20th Anniversary Awards. So Danny McSherry won the Community Support Coach Award. Bethany Firth, MBE, won the Athlete Excellence Award, and Oren Doherty was shortlisted in the Performance Sports Course Coach Award. Sorry. In reference to the agenda, we'd like to welcome Nicholas McCrickert, who we all know very well, and Breeze Jennings from the County Down Rural Network, who are attending in reference to item number 5, and if there's any questions in particular that they can help answer, they'll be more than happy to do so. Also welcome Colin Bradley from the Community Places, who has developed the Warren Point Community Hub Feasibility Study and is here to answer any questions in relation to item number 7. Then also just to note that the new Downlayers Centre official launch is on Thursday. And then over the weekend, there is many free activities and classes open to the public to get a real insight into what fantastic building that's been delivered for Downpatrick. And then Albert Comer, former chair of council, sadly passed away, and this funeral took place last week. So just like to pass our condolences on to the family. Moving on then, so item number 2, declarations of interest.
None.
Okay. Then item number 3, action sheet arising from the meeting held on the 15th of October. I'll go page by page. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5, 6, and 7. Any matters arising? No. All right.
Just
Councillor Walker.
Just on the play park upgrades.
Yeah.
I think anybody that has seen any of the upgrades so far would have to say they're an excellent job. The one in Killay, I would have to say that, Connor, it was well worth the wait. So it was when you see the equipment and that was in there. And I think you were right in doing it the way you've done it. Because at the start, when you said, I think, 67,000 or 87,000 for it, you were saying to yourself, you know, what play equipment's going to go in there for that? But the fact of the matter is that there's excellent equipment, there are plenty of equipment, and I've noticed that in 2 or 3 of the other ones. So I have to commend you. I know we as councillors harped on when was this going to happen. But now it's happening, they've been rolled out. It was well worth the wait, and thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks so much, Chair. I would like to concur with Councillor Walker's remarks. I know a lot of hard work and many hours have been spent in bringing together plans and trying to draw down funding for play parks. And it's a good news story for this year and for the next few years, whenever other areas right across the council that aren't in year 1 but year 2, 3 and 4 are in the lineup for much needed play park equipment. And like from what I've seen so far, first class job, it's been well worth the wait. And at the end of the day, the real winners are the children and parents. Thank you.
Members, there is an item 25 there on for an update for Newton on play parks for those that are being continued as well for your reference.
Thank you.
Alright, moving on. So, folks, we've removed the presentation component on item 4 and we're bringing item 26 forward, which is the report on the Macmillan Move Forward programme. Connor's going to do the report first, and then we're going to ask Laura McGrath just to give us a quick update on what's been happening.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This report is for committee to note. The Move Forward programme with partnership with Macmillan has been running now for approximately 10 months. One of the key figures in it was to reach referrals of 100 citizens that's living with and beyond cancer in our district. At the moment, our figures just sitting at a target of 130, and it's proven a great success in producing activity programmes for those citizens in the district.
So as Connor said in the report, that we are well ahead of target in terms of year one of the programme. We're at 130 referrals and we're only 10 months into the programme. Some positive news coming from the Move More regionally. We have just received the Project of the Year from Sport Northern Ireland, and we're travelling to London now next Thursday to the UK Coaching Awards. So it's a fantastic achievement, and it's good to see the programme being recognised both here in Northern Ireland and across the water. I have some cards with my email address and phone number on them if anybody would like them at the end. And if you know anybody that would be interested in the programme, please feel free to pass on my contact details. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Laura. Any questions, members? It's great to hear how successful it's been and the recognition that's been given. I believe we're up against Gareth Southgate, so I'm sure we'll beat him very easily. No problem to us. Thank you very much, Laura. All right, folks, moving on then to item number 5, the Community Centre Effectiveness Review, SLAs, MFAs, and that's yourself, Janine.
Yes, Chair, members. The purpose of the report is to further progress some of the recommendations arising out of the Community Centre Effectiveness Review. Those recommendations specifically relating to community facility definition, facility management agreements and service level agreements. Chair, we've had a number of presentations on the effectiveness review, so I'm not proposing to go through the paper, but I will, if you are happy, run quickly through the 7 recommendations as part of the report. The first one is that we adopt the definition of a community facility as detailed in Appendix 1. We need council to be consistent in what is defined as a community facility, especially important when we're allocating funding or resources in any way. We look for approval to launch an open call to award service level agreements from community groups who run community facilities within the district. As members are aware, we currently fund a number of centres on legacy arrangements. So those centres we always fund, we have continued to do so. And this open call will provide a quality of opportunity for other centres that haven't been able to avail of council funding to date. We would like permission to extend the length of both facility management agreements and the service level agreements from 1 year to 4 years. That's the term of the council. So the groups will have some level of security afforded to them. We would like to launch a closed call for facility management agreements with funding to be allocated to all facilities as per recommended criteria around size, location and programmes. So at the minute, members, we provide funding for facility management agreements, and those funding arrangements can range from anything from £1,000 right up to £6,000. This will provide us with an opportunity to level that and ensure that facilities are funded based on their programme activities, the size of their premises and the diverse nature of the activities. We would also like to increase the number of service level agreements with groups from 14 to 25, and this will provide us with some type of a
safety net. So if we go out for application process in round one and we are overwhelmed by groups who are successful, we would like some type of resource there to support them, especially in year one. We would like to provide interim support to groups who receive a service level agreement but are not successful in the new call. Sorry. What we may end up with is that the groups that we currently fund, the centres that we currently fund, now having to go through an open call and they may not be successful. So we're seeking committee approval to support those groups through that first year and enable them to go and get funding elsewhere. And finally, try to proceed with a series of public meetings, capacity building workshops to advise the groups of the agreed changes.
Okay, members. Thanks very much.
Well, I'm glad to see this project moving forward. Clearly, it's a bit odd that some villages and towns and community centres funded by council and others don't. And it's good to see the definition is fairly broad and inclusive. It doesn't restrict the ownership of any community centre in any particular way. Because clearly I know that in our area we have communities with community centres, council owns community centres, some GA, some villages effectively provide the community centre, and none of that's restricted, it's open to all. When we were last here, you were looking at the possibility of some villages having more, or towns having more than one community centre. Did you resolve that? I know that I can think of several villages where there would be more than one effective community centre that would fit the definition shown here. And one would worry that that you might not, if you had picked only one, you might have one half of the town not properly being served because the community centre was up at the other end of town. Or you might see an existing community centre that council had been funded for 20 or 30 years losing out to a Johnny Come Lately, much to the consternation of the local community. So I wonder what thought have you given to that?
Through the chair, the model proposed is not about taking away community centres that exist. It's simply going to help us ensure that we fund or support community centres that have a more diverse range of activities or programmes running. So we're not going to say you have a community centre defined in this location and therefore we won't fund or support any other provision. It is designed to be open and flexible because we appreciate, and the effectiveness review appreciated, the community facilities come in all shapes and sizes. So I hope that answered the question.
I don't normally let members in second time. Is it a follow-up question, as in different than what you just said? Clarification, we'll allow that, but we need you to hit your mic.
I was just thinking, for instance, in our last, the council has funded the community centre for years and years, and we know that there is well over a dozen different groups using the community centre in our glass, and it's been incredibly successful down through the years, creating, you know, the computer suite. I think they recently got their windows and doors refurbished by the council, or at least funded the refurbishment. But by the same token, there's also the Development Association in the town in Bath Street that similarly has a dozen different organisations using it. Different. In actual fact, you often see them interchanging. Now, the AGMs are often held up in the community hall, even though the day-to-day activities might be held in Bath Street, you follow me. So in that particular case, and I know it's not an isolated one, you could see a situation where there would be more than one community centre in a town that would properly fit the criteria. So just, is there any reason why there shouldn't be more than one in a town? You'd imagine somewhere like Downpatrick or Newry could have well have more than one because they're much bigger, you know?
Chair, again,
the process isn't designed or the effectiveness review wasn't developed to make sure that there was only one centre or community facility in a location. It is a consideration whenever we go to look for funding, but it's not the entire criteria that we will look at. Geographically, there's not an equitable spread of centres across our district, and the review, while it seeks to address that, it doesn't propose to pull back into a strict DEA format where we will only fund X amount of centres. If the centres are efficient and effective and they're producing good programmes of activity, then we would see that as a model we would look to fund. There could, yes.
Okay. I have one question to ask. So we're saying that if we were to agree to extend it from 1 year to 4 years, so all those that are successful in meeting the criteria and are awarded an SLA,
yeah,
or an FMA, for those that aren't successful or for those new centres that are established, I take it, are we doing it a yearly call out, or will it be at the end of the 4 years that we would make this call out?
The proposal is that we would look to put a call out every 4 years,
okay,
because a number of the complaints that came back as part of this review were that groups felt that as soon as they had secured some level of funding, already that timeline was running out and they needed to apply. So one financial year is just not sufficient to run a facility.
Okay. I suppose to reword it, sorry, Janine, is so those that are awarded would continue with their 4 years,
yes,
but those that were to establish themselves as a community centre who haven't applied or were unsuccessful previously,
mm-hmm,
can we increase the number of SLAs that we have to allow additional ones to then be called further years during the 4 year period? So what I'm saying is, I don't want it just be 4 years, we make one call and some people don't get it or are unsuccessful. What I'm trying to see is their mechanism to allow those to apply in further years, not to affect those that have been successful in getting the 4 years.
Chair, is there provision for that at the minute? No.
It is
trying to keep it clean and saying we will have a service level agreement with you for the lifetime of this council. Groups that aren't successful, yes, they are then looking at us now where they can't look for to council again for a further 3 to 4 year period. New groups coming on board, we could consider. City Nicholas or Bridge, you have been.
Chair, I don't know if there's any help, but there may need to be provision. I think it's a valid question, and there may need to be a provision for, I'm thinking of groups that are currently under construction or will,
yeah,
be built in the next couple of years. There may need to be an interim call between now and the 4th year. So I think you're right to name that, Chair.
Okay. I would suggest that we include that in the recommendations, that we would look to have an interim call that would not affect those who were successful and secure in the 4 years,
mm-hmm,
so they would continue as is, so they would not be affected, but that we would look to increase the provision if there is a requirement for new established community centres that have not applied previously, that would be eligible to apply to get an SLA or an FMA. Okay. Yeah, Bridge.
Would that have to be an open call, or could you have that as the, would you recommend it as a closed call for new centres only and not ones who were unsuccessful at the start of the process?
You can say that very much.
I would say if the call was specifically for new facilities, it would be a closed call. It would be new facilities only and not facilities that weren't successful the first time around.
Personally, I would say open, because it would give those that were unsuccessful incentive to improve the facility that they have, and give them the opportunity to improve the facility to be eligible for it. But obviously, us as a council would need to make a decision. If it was just new facilities, yes, closed. But we do need to consider that those that are unsuccessful, that don't source money and trying to fundraise and trying to improve the facility to meet the criteria, then we're saying they're still not going to get it for 4 years. Councillor Henry, it's going to be a third time now.
Different point. Yeah, just a point, building on the point you've just made, Chairperson. When we've done our calls, we may well find that there are some villages or towns where we still don't have a community centre. I wonder when we're doing a interim call looking for new centres, we could also maybe target those towns or villages that don't have a community centre at all.
So I'm going to make an amendment to the recommendation for the inclusion that we would have an interim call, and I'll not caveat it with it being just new facilities or an open or closed. What we'll do is we'll have an interim call with a review of the process that's followed now, taking into consideration the volume that have been unsuccessful, then the inclusion of how many new facilities there are. So I think it would be useful to have an interim call 2 years into the 4 year life to allow possible others to apply to be successful in getting an SLA or an MSA. Are members happy with that? Okay. So Councillor Andrews second the proposal. Can I propose as a chair?
I think you can.
Okay. Are all members in agreement? Yep. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Nicholas and Breach. Appreciate it. All right, folks. Moving on then to item number 6, and it's the District DEA Forums Update Report.
Yes, Chair, members, this is a monthly DEA report, the activities undertaken in civic participation, educational wellbeing, and health status. As you are aware, we need committee approval for the recommendations arising out of the Slieve Gullion and the Downpatrick DEA forums.
So just need a proposal and seconder, folks. Proposed Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Murray. All right, moving on then to item number 7 then, and this is the feasibility report for Warren Point Community Facility, and that's yourself again, Janine.
Yes, Chair. Members are aware that previously Council were in negotiations with the PSNI to purchase the Warren Point PSNI station for the development of a community hub. In May of this year, the PSNI advises that was no longer an option. The station was not considered surplus. In May of this year, it was agreed at this committee to broaden the planned Warren Point feasibility study to include any other available sites and bring back options to committee for discussion. So, Chair, the paper provides members with the outcome of the feasibility study and seeks approval to accept the recommendations within, including the preferred location of Clonalm Park, and proceed with a Green Book economic appraisal assessing the two design options for Clonalm Park contained within the report.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, this has been discussed over and over again, and it's come back a long time. I've been on the committee from the start of the new council, and I'm happy to propose the recommendations to go ahead with Clonalm Park.
All right, Councillor Hyland second.
Councillor Hyland second to that.
All right, members, everyone in agreement? I picked up on your point, Councillor Fitzpatrick. So it's noted. Thank you. Thank you very much, Colin, for turning up. Everyone's happy enough for your report. Thank you. Moving on then to item number 8 is the amendments to the policy and procedures for the use of play inflatables in and on council premises. And that's Janine.
Yes, Chair, the policy and procedures for play inflatables were previously approved by AHC, and officers are now proposing three amendments. So at present, council staff supervise the Bouncy Castle usage for the duration of a booked birthday party, and this has resource implications. We're proposing that in future the Hire will nominate a responsible person to supervise the bouncy castle, or the play inflatable, sorry. So the amendments are detailed in recommendations 3.1. What I can say, Chair, is that checks will still be carried out by staff on a regular basis, and that all of the health and safety information, guidelines and support will be provided to the hirer in advance of the birthday party booking.
Okay. Proposer and seconder. Who's Councillor Dorn? Second, Councillor Howe. Thank you. Everyone in agreement? Yep. All right. Then item 9 then is the renewal of lease for Boulevard Restaurant and McGrath House, Newry.
Sure, yes. The council currently holds a lease agreement with the Boulevard Restaurant. We're looking for approval this evening to renew that lease agreement. The updated annual rental, as suggested by LPS, is at a reduced rate of £14,000 per annum.
Proposed, Councillor Patrick. Second. We just use your mic there, so we'll pick you up.
Can I find out just what the reduction is?
It was 18,000 per annum previously, and is now 14,000. So the reduction.
Substantial drop there.
It's reduction. Yeah.
Okay.
And Councillor Howe seconded that. Okay. Moving on then, item number 10 is the remedial work to Community Centre. Mulban. I'm being told three different things here.
Mulban.
Mulban. I was right first time. Two people telling me differently. Janine.
Mulban Community Centre, as you know, is a council managed community centre. We lease the building from the parish, but as detailed within the legal agreement, all repair and maintenance requirements remain our responsibility. A condition survey and fire risk assessments have been carried out, and there are a number of substantial pieces of work that need to be completed. What we're proposing, Chair, is that we group all of these works into one project and one procurement exercise. A business case is currently being developed, and we require AHC approval to proceed.
Okay. Councillor Larkin.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to propose the officer's recommendation.
All right.
Go ahead with this.
Perfect.
Business case.
Thanks, the island. You're just trying to annoy everyone tonight. Thanks, Lou Murray.
Yeah, just following on from Councillor Lahern, we've had several DEA meetings, DEA forum meetings in Mulban Community Centre, and it is falling to bits. And you know, while she was on her DEA forum there for the last couple of years, had made several recommendations and suggestions that some sort of remedial works carried out. So I think everyone in Mulban would be delighted to see these works being carried out. So I'm happy to formally second Councillor Lochan's proposal.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, just for a point of clarity, whatever, or point of principle, it's BAWN, not ANA. Just saying. And it's on the next page. It says the McFarland Associates got it right, but we didn't. And it's one of our buildings. So, just saying.
Sure, not to argue with one of the members, but we also checked it out, and we have a variety of different spellings. So we've never had a local come in and give us guidance before. So
we're not
going to
have
a
party now.
No, there's no fight. It's taken from the Irish anyway. It's an Irish and Mullach ban. So if you're, Gillian's quite correct, if you're in Armagh and you're speaking in Irish, it's a Mullach ban. If you're further down south, it would be a Mullach ban. That's where the confusion arises. So it's a Mullach ban.
And a big stack of Dolly's Bray.
Sorry, folks. We're not having a good relations forum here. So, I think we needed a consultant to come in here, Liam, and give us full details on how the name or centres. All right. Is everyone in agreement? I assume so. All right. Thank you very much. Moving on then to item 11, and this is the community involvement strategy from the housing sector.
Chair, members, the report details a draft response from council. We have already submitted this in draft form because the consultation timescale was very tight in terms of approval, but NIHA are happy that we would submit any additional comments or proposed amends following discussion.
Just unless anyone has any additions, just need a proposer and seconder.
Proposed
Councillor Andrews, second by Councillor Dorn. Thank you. So Daly is trying to use the lights that time. Alright, everyone in agreement?
Right,
yep. Alright. Item number 12 then is the Peace for Local Action Plan. Janine?
Members, this is our monthly peace report from the partnership. They're seeking approval for recommendations arising out of this latest peace partnership meeting at a total cost of £146,300.
Councillor Hyland?
Yeah, I'd just like to propose that report.
All right, thank you.
Last second.
And Councillor Andrews is seconding. Okay. Everyone in agreement? Yep. Moving on then to item 13, and it's the financial assistance.
Yes, Chair. As members are aware, Council administers a number of financial assistance calls throughout the year, and our financial assistance process is under review. We are seeking approval to have an internal cross-departmental meeting to agree the themes and the thresholds that we would release in the first financial assistance call for the 19-20 financial year. We would, of course, as in previous years, be explaining that this money will be subject to agreement within the rates estimates. So it's approval, Chair, to go to call in January and detail all of the themes and thresholds for spend in 19-20.
Okay. Just need proposal and seconder, Councillor Howard.
The headings?
No. Through the Chair, that would be the subject of our cross-departmental meeting. So we would be taking the view, inviting all departments within Council to come and say what themes they would like to push money out through financial assistance call in the next year. It probably will follow the themes that we have advertised in previous years.
Okay, that's a proposal. Councillor Hyland?
Yes, Councillor Hyland.
Second, then.
We're back in motion.
Yeah,
back
in motion.
Yeah, you can ask questions, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much. Just in relation to the cross-departmental meetings within the Council, at any stage will the Councillors be given a sort of an update on to what has been decided at another departmental level?
Chair, we can bring a report back in December or January, highlighting what themes and thresholds have been proposed by the department.
Thank you.
All right. I love it that you need permission to talk to each other.
I know.
All right, everyone's in agreement? Yep, all right. Moving on then is the DFC funding application process. Janine, item number 14.
Very straightforward, Chair. DFC have been in touch asking the Council to submit applications for the next financial year. The details are contained within the report. We're seeking Council approval to do so.
Okay. Proposer and seconder. Councillor Dorn.
Proposed, Joe.
Thank you. Seconder. Councillor McMurray. Thank you. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. Item number 15 then is the Newry Tennis Bubble, and that's yourself, Connor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This report's asked in committee to approve the realignment of current capital budget. The Council Sports Facilities Strategy recommended a tennis bubble be created in either Newcastle or Newry. We have met with both Newcastle and Newry Tennis Clubs, and unfortunately the creation of a bubble is not achievable. Council officers were successful with drawing down money from funding Your School, Your Club to inform communities of $90,000, and this report has asked the committee to approve the realignment budget to allow the $90,000 to build a Newry tennis bubble on Our Lady School.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
I'd like to propose that, but would due consideration be given that Newcastle would be could do something for Newcastle, because both obviously need their tennis, and obviously Newcastle has been a great place for tourism and that. Surely, you know, whilst yes, we would want, you'd want to be putting that into Newry so that we don't lose the match funding. What would be the story with helping Newcastle down the line?
Yes, sure. The Newcastle Tennis Courts itself at the minute has now had a whole new resurfacing made, and it's open very shortly to the club. So there's a new upgrade that's already taken place on Newcastle Tennis Courts.
Okay, so they're not getting losing out. Okay, then happy to propose it. Thanks.
Okay. Councillor Walker.
Chair, that was my concern, that Newcastle would lose out. And I do understand that, you know, money has to be spent, and transferring it to Newry is a logical thing to do. And that, in relation to a bubble, is it dead in the water in Newcastle? Will that never happen? In a sense, because Councillor Patrick is right there, which he mentions, it's a tourist destination there for us, Newcastle and that. And I heard you saying there that they're resurfacing and that they're done, and the pitches and that there. But, you know, don't take this the wrong way. At times when money's having to be directed, it seems to be getting directed further down towards Newry and places, and up here is not getting it. Now, I do understand that this money could be lost, you know, if it wasn't, and this is ready to go in Newry. But, you know, I think we need to be promoting a lot of our areas up here as well. And I would like to think that further down the line that this type of facility could be rolled out in Newcastle, or even down Padraig for that matter, you know, and we keep our mind open there. But I'm not saying that the money shouldn't go to Newry, because they're ready to go, and they need that extra money for it to make it happen. So in relation to that, I would actually second the proposal.
Okay. Everyone's in agreement? No? I'm in reference to the recommendations before us in the report. Everyone's in agreement. Okay. All right. Moving on then to item 16, and this is the Newtown Hamilton Play Park fencing work. And that's yourself, Connor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Committee agreed in council agreed back in September for the location of a new play development in Dungonley, at Jimstein Park there in Hampton. One of the recommendations from the planning was to erect a ball stop fence directly behind the soccer pitch on the site, and a small fencing around it. So this report is asking committee to approve additional spend within the play strategy budget to meet planning needs for the site location itself.
Councillor Taylor.
Chair, I'm happy to propose recommendations as well.
Alright. Councillor Loughran.
Yeah, I'm happy to second the proposal.
Alright. Councillor Murray.
Yeah, Chair, go mark it. Chair, I have a couple of questions. Just, there's a bit of a feeling in Newtown that this is throwing good money after bad with regard to the play park and Jimstein Park. Great soccer field it is, and was. Ideal place for a soccer field, not really an ideal spot for a play park in the view of some people in Newtown, not all. It must be said there are quite a few people in Newtown who would like to see the play park down here. I had nine reasons or nine issues that I have raised with the planners and with this directorate as to the play park in Newtown that have been raised by the community, particularly the community of Dungarmy Estate. The first is that the play park is too close to the pensioners' homes in Dungarmy. I raised that today with the planner as well, and they were concerned with that as well. There'll be increased traffic through the estate. There's already a campaign in Dungarmy Estate to stop through traffic. The access road itself is too narrow. There are inadequate parking spaces. The park is too close to the soccer pitch. Now, this will remedy that. This ball stop will remedy the danger of a ball hitting a child with it. The proximity of the park to the river. The site being out of view, that if there's antisocial behaviour going on down at Jamestown Park, you wouldn't be able to see that from any of the houses up around Dungarmy. That's a concern that people have, that if there was any sort of antisocial behaviour going on down in Jamestown Park in the evening, nobody would be able to see it. The perimeter fence around the whole field is not secure. And crucially, the last point, Jamestown Park floods. I wrote here, it always has and it always will, due to the point that it's the lowest point in Dungarmy. In the recent, we'll not call it floods, in the recent heavy rain last weekend, I sent pictures through the day, with pictures all over social media, of flood water a quarter of the way up the gate. The whole car park flooded, and the flood water onto the grass, which where the play park's going to be proposed to be built. And now, this £20,000 could go on remedying any of those things, you know, preferably the flood water. I know there's a storm drain, and the storm drain should be taking it away, and it does sporadically be cleaned out and cleared out and that. But Jamestown Park has been there since the 1980s. My dad was the manager of Ajax United, who played at Jamestown Park. I played in Jamestown Park. It is always flooded. It's flooded because it's down low. It's down behind Dungarmy, and it's beside a river. I'm finishing up now. It's proposed and it's seconded to spend the money on a ball stop for Jamestown Park. That's fine, but I'm just afraid, and some of the community are afraid, Newtown is just throwing good money after that. £20,000 for a spot in Newtown where I'd go as far as say the majority of people in Newtown don't think there'll ever be a play park in Jamestown Park. And if we want to spend £20,000 on a ball stop for down at Jamestown Park, well, so be it.
Connor, you happy to come back on this?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, there was issues raised by yourself on the flooding that, and we spoke to Rivers Agency and on the situation and their investigation on the pipe itself being blocked on a regular basis. The ball stop fence, you're correct, it will meet two purposes. It'll serve the football team, and the fencing around it will also serve the football team playing out, because it'll restrict any children that's on that site at the football match from out into a car park area. So the works itself will meet both the needs of the new play park proposals and also the actual sports site itself. The issues regarding the perimeter fence, we've asked our maintenance department to go and have a look at them to see if there's any breaches in it. And again, we are with it as regards to planning. The planning report will go in with these requests and recommendations to see where it is.
Okay. All right, folks, we've proposed
this. What if the flood issues can't be resolved, Connor?
Sorry, the initial planning application went in, and one of the requests or rejection from it was that the play park original location was too close to the homes, and it was the planners made the suggestion to move it to its new location with these recommendations. So these are the recommendations from the planners, and at the mercy of the planners thereafter.
Okay. Are we all in agreement? Yeah. Okay. Moving on then, folks. Item number 17 is the Sports Hub application, Connor.
Yes, again, thank you, Chair. Council already agreed the study that was carried out on the 14 sports hubs within the sports facility strategy was narrowed down to two. Council has carried out the application to Sport NIE to the $6.7 million for the two. That's the one in Newcastle and the one in Newry. So both applications have been successful at the minute. I've now moved into second stage. This report is asking the committee to approve a low-value tender and procurement exercise to appoint a consultant to submit the new sports development to allow us to proceed into the final stage of the funding.
All right, folks, just close your doors.
Close your.
All right, thank you. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. All right, folks. Item number 18 is the New Relish Centre Cafe. This is for Noton only members. It should have been within the for Noton item. All right. Don't think anyone's any issues with that. Okay, then moving on to item number 19 is the New Downlair Centre pricing amendments, and that's yourself, Kieran.
Yes, sure, thank you. Members, you'll be aware that previously in February 2018, Council approved the current scale of charges for the 2018-19 financial year. However, at that point, we also highlighted that a further review and analysis should be conducted and reported back to this committee for consideration on the required pricing transition upon the anticipated opening of the new Downlair Centre. In Section 2.1 and Section 2.2, we have highlighted the proposed price points. The previous Down Leisure Centre had a variety of multi-purpose rooms, all with various price points. Must be stressed at this point that the prices proposed in 2.1 and 2.2, they are not new pricing points. They are specific to other centres and are listed in the current Appendix 5 of the 2018-19 scale of charges. Therefore, by adopting this approach, proposed pricing will therefore be consistent with the comparable wet and dry facilities such as Newry Leisure Centre and Kilkee Leisure Centre. So therefore, the recommendation would be to allow officers to proceed with specific pricing as per Section 2.1 and 2.2 for the new Downpatrick Leisure Centre, therefore ensuring a consistent approach is now adopted within the Council's three wet and dry facilities in Downpatrick, Kilkeel and Newry.
Okay. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, and thank you, Kieran, for your report. Just a couple of wee pointers, a couple of questions I'd ask you. In relation to concessions for use of our leisure centres and facilities. So who would be eligible for concessions? Is it, for example, students, people who are receiving unemployment benefits and pension age? You know, in relation to carers who do a lot of sterling work at home, looking after relatives and friends, Would they be entitled to a concession rate for using leisure facilities? You know, as I say, they save the country millions, you know, with the hard work that they do, and maybe that could be looked at as well. And in relation to life memberships, you know, people, you know, that maybe would like to take a life membership, you know, like, you know, pension age onwards, if there was any possibility of looking into a life membership fee, you know, that would cover all facilities. But the main crux would be on carers who deserve medals for the sterling work that they do, and also life memberships for people in our society that, you know, have retired, whatever, and could just pay off a life membership. So maybe those points could be looked at.
Yes, sir. In relation to the first point, Council did take a position during the TNT meetings back in November 2014 on who in this Council should be eligible for concessions, and we've been adopting that position since then. That's namely people that are in estate pensionable age, students in full or part-time education, people in receipt of benefits, and of course this Council has made further concessions on over 60s and also less abled citizens as well that meet the eligibility criteria. In terms of the life memberships, it was agreed back in 2015 that those in Legacy Down, those life memberships would be honoured, but therefore that's not part of the current pricing strategy. In terms of looking at any other future concessions, it is something that we could look at if the members wish us to do so, and we can bring a report back to this committee at a future point that will link in with the scale of charges for the forthcoming year.
Yeah, well, as I say, I'll only be too happy to propose the paper and also on the actions that you suggest that you'll take and you come back to report this to. So thank you very much.
I second that, Sean.
Thank you, Councillor Hyland. Everyone's in agreement? Yes? Okay. Thank you very much. Then moving on to item number 20 is the support request from Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful for Equal Skills Programme for period 2019 to 2020. That's your cell phone.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, Keeping On and Beautiful have given us a request, as they do every year, for support for the EcoSkills program. We currently have 112 out of 137 that have at least the bronze level of accreditation, so still a number of schools that need to be brought forward. So we have made accommodation within existing estimates. We're just looking approval to make the contribution.
Councillor Taylor proposed. Second, Councillor Patrick. Everyone in agreement? Yep. Okay. Moving on. Item number 21, and it's the nuclear-free local authorities AGM in December 2018.
Thank you, Chair. We've previously taken the committee for approval to host the AGM, which will take place in the boardroom in Monaghan Row on the 7th of December. In the actual paper, it says nominations sought for interested councillors. However, it's really just that this to give an open invitation for all councillors to attend if they wish.
Okay. Do we need that? Councillor Hyland.
Yeah, just delighted that they're having their AGM in Uri this year. I know what you're saying there, but I had requests from both Councillor Enright and Councillor Tindley that their names would be put forward that they, as part of the independent group, to go.
Okay. I suppose, given that it's open to all councillors, they're more than welcome. All right. It's proposed by Councillor Hyland, second by Councillor Andrews. Everyone's happy enough with that? Yeah? All right, folks, items 22 to 27 are for Newton, so update report on the energy efficiency works within council and community centres. I'll go through them. If any members have any questions about them, turn your light on just so I stop. Item number 23 is the Social Investment Fund update. 24 is the Sports Awards in 2019. 25 is the Play Park Strategy update. 26 is the Macmillan Move Forward, which we've already done. Which item are you in reference to? The Play Park. So item 25 then?
Yeah, just a quick one, if I can just get it open here. Just on the first page there, it talks about a plan and application being submitted for Newtown Hamilton Play Park. I checked with the planners today, there's been no plan application received yet from the planners regarding Newtown Hamilton Play Park.
Okay,
just in case there's any confusion.
I believe it's been submitted, and they came back with the recommendations for which relates to the previous item that we had about moving it to a different spot within the surrounding area, and that's where the ball stop came from and the fencing, and that was
Sorry, Chair. The plan application, you're correct, was submitted originally for the site, and as I said in the report. It was rejected by recommendation of moving the play park and its location.
Right.
It is to be resubmitted after the recommendation that it is to put the fencing up and the balls up because the planners want drawings and maps relined with these and resubmitted thereafter.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarity, Connor.
Just on a point of interest.
Okay.
Point of interest. Now, according to the planners, when I spoke to the planners today, it was invalidated because there was a reference to Ballyholland in the plan application, that they felt that it was the Ballyholland application cut and paste with Newtown Inlet, and that there was a question on it on public consultation which wasn't answered. So the planners had said that it was made invalid because it wasn't completed. That's what I got today from the planners.
Okay, I'm sure Connor will take that back and see what went amiss. All right, moving on. Then item number 27, the Interreg VA program. And then we need to go into committee. This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. And may I propose and seconder to go into committee? Councillor Andrews and Councillor Lowe second. So I just read this on officer's recommendation, option two, yeah. So item number 28 for the new Down There Centre handball and squash provision. It was agreed on a proposal by Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Walker, to go with the officer's recommendation of option two. Okay. Thank you very much, folks. See you from